GovernmentSecrets.com. John Greenwald with us, and we'll take your calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, John Greenwald with us. We'll get to your calls. John, when you were looking at the documents primarily for Black Vault, did you come across any really pertinent stuff about Roswell?
Roswell is one of those tough ones, just simply because you've got a lot of time that's passed since it happened. But number two, you've got quite a few researchers and investigators that have been looking into it and have been dissecting it for years. But what I would say about Roswell, and when I love to do public lectures, when I do public speaking, I bring it up because you can summarize it very, very easily and prove beyond a doubt, in my opinion, that there is a cover-up involved with Roswell. And it's used, all you got to do is use their most recent explanation, which is their publication called the Roswell Report, Case Closed, and you look at the executive summary, and there's only about 4 or 5 points that they summarize, this entire huge stack of pages. They summarize everything in like 4 or 5 points, and each one you can absolutely dismiss beyond any shadow of a doubt. They try and claim that the bodies that were seen were from incidents that happened 9 and 12 years after Roswell. When you're talking about that type of discrepancy, and you can just start nixing them from the report. That can't be true because of this. That can't be true because of this. They tried to say that the crash test dummies were used. Well, the crash test dummies, actually the first one wasn't created until years after Roswell. And so in my public lecture, I actually show you a picture of Sierra Sam, who is considered the first crash test dummy ever created. And it happened, he was created years after the Roswell incident. So when you look at those types of silly discrepancies that I think that anybody can disprove, you don't need to be a genius to really prove that Roswell was a cover-up. And all you use is their own documents. You just compile what the government has released, and you put their Roswell explanation right next to the documentation about crash test dummies or these flight accidents where they said Air Force pilots were killed and injured, and that was what the witnesses saw at Roswell Army Air Field Hospital. I mean, when you put that next to each other, and it just does not line up even close, you got to realize there's something to this. I think that the government would have been better off just keeping their mouth shut on the whole thing.
Absolutely.
And not say anything, but they had not one, not two, but explanations number 3 and 4 come out over the last, however many years that they released the reports. And it's like, why do that? Just kind of keep your mouth shut and let the conspiracy theorists duke it out. But instead, they just add more evidence to the fire that there's something being covered up and being hidden. And I think that you summarize Roswell in that way. There's something that happened. Will we ever know the truth, though? Not to be a negativist, yes. No, we won't. I think that we will not really figure out exactly what happened there ever. I think that that evidence has probably long been destroyed, and all we have here is the government just kind of putting their foot in their mouth. And, that in itself is interesting, but I think when it comes down to it, we won't be able to definitively say what happened in 1947.
You had mentioned earlier about JFK. Did you uncover anything there?
JFK is a very tough one to investigate. Have I uncovered anything? Yeah, I've got thousands of pages on all sorts of different angles of the JFK topic, which I've got a whole section devoted on it. With the government, though, here's kind of the where it becomes tricky, in that they've compiled literally millions of pages of information on all sorts of different angles on the assassination and just shoved them all into the National Archives in Washington, D.C. So there's this gigantic collection, and a lot of it is not accessible via the FOIA for no other reason other than the FOIA has a stipulation, the Freedom of Information Act has a stipulation, that once it goes to the National Archives, you have to pay 35 cents a page for it. You get absolutely nothing for free. You can go there and physically go through the documents. So I'm not saying that this is really kind of a cover-up or part of the cover-up, but it makes it very difficult for people to then travel to D.C. and then sift through millions of pages, because let's face it, they're not really indexed. So that makes it very difficult to kind of research the JFK assassination, and I think that that's one too that we will really kind of never know the truth. I think there's a lot of nuggets that have come out, but I think that we won't really know the absolute truth. One thing that I think that is interesting to look into is one of the kind of gangsters of the day that has been entwined in conspiracy theories for quite some time, and that was John Handsome Johnny Roselli. And I started requesting Roselli's files and actually got over 1,300 pages from the FBI, and I found out that there are actually about 17,000 more. The FBI is trying to charge me about $500-$600 to obtain the rest of the file, and obviously it's hard to start shelling out $600 at a time for FBI files. So I've posted what I was able to obtain, and then if anybody's interested, to get the rest, obviously there's ways to obtain it, and I've got all the information on there. I requested information from the NSA on Roselli, and wouldn't you believe it, they say we can neither confirm nor deny that any records exist.
Unbelievable.
So I kind of take all those little nuggets and put them out there, and Roselli's just one example of kind of those little head-scratching moments that you kind of wonder, well, is there something to that conspiracy theory that, maybe he was hired or maybe did play a role. Interestingly enough, Roselli played, and this is documented, that he did play a role with the CIA, and he was involved in a plot to kill Fidel Castro. Now, as the story goes, that plot was turned down. The CIA was denied authorization for actually carrying out the assassination of Castro. And wouldn't you know it, that it was actually JFK who was the one that turned down that project,
from what I understand. Right. That's right. Let's go to the calls. First-time caller, Bud is in Las Vegas. Welcome to the program. Hey, Bud, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? George, it's good to talk to you.
You too, Bud.
George, I've seen some of the dangest things lately in the last couple of years out in Alamo, Nevada here, out by Area 51. George, I never believed the flying saucers until I've seen what I've seen out there.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere, aren't they?
Oh, George, this is crazy. I mean, me and my buddies were out there, and one night we couldn't believe it. There was this disc, a round, glowing red disc, and all of a sudden, a white light looked like a field beam light come right out of the center of that thing. George, it took off, and we watched it go straight up, faster than anything I ever seen. And then we were, another time I was out there, and we were in a canyon going up to where we fish, and it was at night, so we were just kind of capped there, and all of a sudden, George, this big, like a boomerang-looking thing come over us in that valley, making like a hum, and that thing come over us, and it took off. And George, the thing is, it defies the laws of physics. No sonic boom or nothing.
And they just seem to float. John, have you come across anything like that? Anti-gravity devices, anything?
Well, there's definitely a lot of reports that coincide with that type of a sighting. And I think it's interesting to point out that, Area 51 has been rumored now for years to, quote-unquote, have been moved. And I've never believed in that theory. And I think it sounds like, I don't know the exact years, it sounds like those were fairly recent that your caller's talking about. I think that it's safe to say that Area 51 was not moved. I think, that the government tried to give out some disinformation about that to get the spotlight off of Area 51. And when it comes down to it, I think they put the spotlight even more on Area 51. And there are documents that prove that Area 51 exists. And if there's any skeptics out there on whether or not, the base is out there. And if you can believe it, there are people that still don't believe that there's a base out there at Area 51. Kind of sounds laughable, but I get letters all the time about it. It does exist. I mean, there's documents. documents that prove it, that have mentioned it, and actually have been released for years mentioning Area 51. There was a headline in the last year that the government finally admitted to Area 51. One of the biggest, I think, mistakes of any media outlet ever to try and report that this was the first time Area 51 was acknowledged. It was acknowledged years ago.
Years ago.
And it's too, you know, it's one of those things. It's like they glom onto a story and then everybody runs it. And it's factually incorrect. And the Department of Energy admitted it to me about 10 years ago in a document that specifically said Area 51. The DOD also admitted it in a single paragraph letter to me saying that the DOD had no longer owned or operated a facility known as Area 51, but that facility was handed over to the Department of Energy. And so that was also additional proof. So, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think Area 51 was moved. It definitely does exist. There's documentation to prove it. And just in the last year, there's been even more that talk about what the base was used for. And to go back to your question, yeah, there's a lot of sightings from the private sector, meaning the non-military, non-government channels that, you know, just definitely coincide with what your caller had just talked about with what he saw. There's a lot of stories like that. And then when you deal with the government documents as well, I mean, the military pilots are seeing them too. There's you know, thousands of reports from all different types of agencies of showing technology that maybe a report happened 30, 40 years ago, and the technology that the document describes is not even technology we have today, or at least that we don't know of. What, so it's definitely a lot there.
What keeps driving you? With the Black Vault, with the government secrets, what are you looking for with all these documents, John?
You know, other than the truth, I'm not sure.
Something drives you. Something pushes you.
It's an undying curiosity that just doesn't go away. You know, it's never boring. There's never a dull moment. It keeps me laughing. It keeps me intrigued. It keeps me learning. Sometimes it keeps me crying. It's just a lot of fun to go after these government secrets and to see what's really out there. That there's a lot of websites and way too many to count that, you know, disseminate these stories that have absolutely not a single fact in them. Some of them are not well known, and yet they get millions of hits. Others are incredibly well known, mainstream media, that report things that just simply aren't true. And I look at that, and it boggles my mind that you don't need to make stuff up. You don't need to hoax things because the truth, it really is stranger than fiction. There are more documents out there that are fascinating that should have the spotlight that don't. Major media outlets, you know, they struggle with, do we report the truth or do we report that reality star diamond-encrusted wedding cake that's going to get 1 million hits because people are curious about it, you know, and they kind of side with, let's do the wedding cake story. And I just don't understand why, but that's the day and age that we live in. So, you know, to go back to your question, it's that curiosity, but I think I also have this kind of undying urge to just, maybe the right word is educate, to kind of help others see the real truth, the documents, you know, again, because the truth is stranger than fiction. You don't need to make this stuff up. There's stuff that really will boggle the mind, whether it be about UFOs, the JFK assassination, the military testing biological weapons on humans.
How about
without their
Bigfoot?
Knowledge.
You ever find any Bigfoot stories in there?
Not on Bigfoot, no. The FBI's got some kind of crazy files on different things, like a file on spontaneous human combustion. They've got a file on cattle mutilations. I've got a big section on FBI files. I kind of consider myself a collector of FBI files. I've got anywhere from celebrities to strange files like that. Never did come across anything on, like, Sasquatch or Bigfoot or anything to that effect. I'm trying to think of nothing really comes to mind on that particular one. But again, there are those kind of strange, unexplained files that the government does have. I just got a stack of pages on Noah's Ark from the CIA.
What are they looking for?
Well, there was a kind of an allegation that one of CIA's spy satellites had caught Noah's Ark on the top of Mount Ararat. And so the CIA kind of investigated on what the that spy satellite took a picture of, and I've got the photos. And you do see an outline of what looks like a gigantic arc. Is it a trick of light? Is it shadows? You know, the CIA says it's nothing. You know, but they have files on Noah's Ark, and you can download them. I've got them on the Black Vault. So, you know, there's a lot of those strange type of files out there that you, again, you just don't hear about that. I just love to disseminate. I love to put the spotlight on them, and that's one of the, again, going back to governmentsecrets.com, that's now taking that 1.3 million pages of information and just putting it into a form that I think is a little bit easier to digest for most people that, you know, need it condensed and need it to kind of come down to a more of a story versus, hey, here's a stack of 1,000 pages, you know, have at it.
Let's go to Brad and Casanova, New York, east of the Rockies. Hi, Brad. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good. Real well.
Hi, John. I my question to you is, have you ever done any investigation on Agenda 21? Because I got to tell you, around here lately, if you own some small parcel of land and you want to build a house, you have to jump through so many hoops to even get started. I know a young couple down the road, they're trying to build a house. They have to send out 9 certified letters to the adjoining roads around their house. And the price of a permit has gone 10 times as high. You look on the internet, and this whole Agenda 21, and it's part of this county, too, is involved. It's just incredible how they're making it difficult for small landowners to do anything. And I just wonder if you've had any research on that at all. I'll take my call off the line. Thank you.
Okay.
You know, I haven't offhand, but I just kind of jotted a note down here next to my keyboard to look into that. But no, I've never looked into that myself.
John, you're going to stumble across one day something that will shock the heck out of you. I just wonder what it will be.
Well, you know, it takes a lot to get me really shocked, but in the same breath, I'll say, nothing really shocks me anymore. You know, I mean, there's certain things that make me scratch my head, and other times my jaw kind of drops a little bit. But after 18 years, you know, I think I've seen, I wake up one morning, I think I've seen it all. And then by the afternoon, I go, oh, my God, you know, I haven't seen it all. And so you're probably right. There probably will be something that will really just make me scratch my head. But what that's going to be, it's going to take a lot. I think in 18 years, I've seen quite a few secrets come across my desk, and out of 1.3 million pages, you know, there's 1.3 million stories, and I deal with pretty much every secret under the sun, and it would take a lot to really, really shock me.
Do you find yourself to be like a Julian Assange?
No, he's one I don't respect at all.
Really?
And yeah, and it goes back to kind of my explanation a little bit about Snowden, but Assange takes it to the nth degree in my book when it comes to putting people in danger. And, you know, there is something to be said for certain secrets to be held. There is something to be said for certain, you know, damning information to come out that you may not make our government or our elected officials look pretty, but it should come out. Maybe there is something to that to a point. But Assange, I feel, just has absolutely no respect for whomever is named in any of these documents that he puts out there. And I think that he gives what we try and do legally a very bad name.
John, hold on. We're going to come back and take more of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Final segment with John Greenwald. John, what might be the oldest documents that you've gotten or retrieved?
The oldest one?
Yeah.
Wow, that's probably going back to World War One.
Really?
I'm a big history buff, so a lot of information that I'll get, you know, is not necessarily a conspiracy of the day, but going back towards history, I've got a lot of stuff on World War Two, a lot of stuff on World War One, and kind of the intelligence gathered during those eras. I want to say it's definitely in the 19-teens around there. I don't know what the exact date is, but they're definitely going back that far.
Isn't that cool to be able to find things like that?
It's a lot of fun. I remember when I got to go to the National Archives for the first time. I actually went with my friend Stanton Friedman, who you've had on quite a few times.
Good guy.
And very good, actually, and I've known him for many years. And, boy, this was years ago, and I remember that the documents he pulled were on Roswell, some newly released stuff. This is going back quite a few years. And I remember I pulled quite a few things from World War II, the World War II era. And what came out were these documents that were when we hired spies to go over to Germany and actually infiltrate into the Nazi movement and the Nazi party. And the actual original documents fell out of these folders with the pictures and the papers that they needed to travel around Nazi Germany. And it was all original. And when you look at that kind of stuff, you know, yeah, it's 70, 80 years old and in some of these cases, but it's just such an amazing piece of history, and it tells us so much about who we are and how far we've come, you know, in just the last half century to century. It's a lot of fun for me. And I remember just having one of those kind of geeky moments sitting there looking at the history that I've got in front of me. And then I looked over and, you know, stands next to me with all of the kind of newly opened Roswell era documents, and he's going through that. And it was kind of a fun moment for me, you know, in this field to just be able to sit there next to him, go through these documents and see that history. And it's something that I absolutely love and adore.
Let's go to Victoria now in Napa, California, west of the Rockies. Victoria, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I'm a longtime Coast to Coast listener.
Thank you.
And, of course, I love the show, and I want to thank you for helping bring forth the truth. This is a great show, and I'm really enjoying your guests. I have one question for the guests. John, I was wondering, I live in Napa, California, and recently I was looking for some property, and there's a road called Oakville Grade in the mountains here. And so when I typed that online, all of a sudden, all this stuff came up about a military installation in the hills up here in Napa, and I was wondering if there was any truth to that, if you could shed some light on that, and I could take my answer off here.
Right. Any documents on something like that, John?
You know, that doesn't, up in Napa, I've traveled up there. I, off the top of my head, haven't heard of one up towards that direction. I can definitely try and do a little bit of research for you if you wanted to drop me a note. If you go to theblackvault.com, there's a contact page. You know, definitely reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to try and find, you know, information on it. But off the top of my head, no, that doesn't sound familiar.
John, give us a quick primer on what people can do if they want to chase down their own FOIA reports.
You know, learn to be very patient, number one. Number two, figure out what exactly you're looking for, and figure out what agency would most likely hold what you're looking for. And that's really where it gets tricky. If you're in doubt, send it anyway to all the agencies. Or if you don't know which one to send it to, it doesn't hurt to send them to 5 different agencies or 10 different agencies. A lot of times I'll do that with certain topics. You know, the CIA may not be the only one that holds information on a topic. So, you know, send it out. Don't be afraid to reach out. You know, that's what the Freedom of Information Act is for. So for me, be patient, but don't be afraid. A lot of people don't want to write a letter to the CIA or the FBI or the Defense Intelligence Agency or the NSA. You know, I mean, you're not going to be on a list just because you file a Freedom of Information Act request. There's thousands and thousands of people that do that. Not to sound too conspiratorial, but you're probably on a list anyway. So you might as well just use the Freedom of Information Act, because it sounds like pretty much this day and age, everybody is on some kind of a list. I'm sure I'm on some kind of a list.
Huh.
You know, but look, I'm 18 years later, I'm 1.3 million pages under the FOIA. I'm still here. I'm still able to talk to George. I'm still able to talk to everybody listening, you know, and nothing's happened to me. I will say though, George, I did get audited this year.
You did? And, see?
Yeah. Yeah. I won't go into detail for obvious reasons.
I understand.
But yeah, first time in my life.
How about
that? And one of the big stories on governmentsecrets.com that I've been profiling as of late, the IRS
scandal. Yep.
Yeah. Go figure, huh? But anyway, look, other than an occasional audit, don't be afraid. Just go for it. Figure out what you might need. You can always drop me a note. I help people all the time try and figure out, you know, what agencies they may want to go to and can assist. But it is something that works. And as much as I, you know, either make jokes about it or say that you do have to wait, not every agency makes you wait a decade to get documents. You can get them sometimes in weeks or months. Yes, you have to wait, obviously, a little bit, but you do get the information, and the system does work. You just got to work with it to make it happen.
Let us go to Comfort, Texas. It's Frank's turn, first-time caller. Frank, take it away. Go ahead, Frank. Well, there is no Frank.
Hello.
Well, there you are. I'm almost hung up on you, Frank. Go ahead.
Wow, man, long-time listener, first-time caller. It is good to talk to you guys. How you doing, George?
I'm glad you got in. Go ahead.
Hey, John, I've been trying to figure out a way to sneak in my question over the last several shows, and this seemed like the best way to do it. Are there any secret government documents related to alien abduction body marks?
No. You know, when you deal with the topic of UFOs/aliens, there's that line that there's just nothing to be found. That's not to say it doesn't exist. They just don't admit to certain things. When you get into alien abductions and that phenomena, specifically, I've never found anything in relation to the government or the military. It's more so kind of the nuts and bolts UFO sightings that the military or other, you know, government agencies have archived, but not really dealing with the abduction phenomena. When you get into that, that's something that you more so have to kind of research within the UFO circle, the researchers that have put their own research into it, because the government, they just don't have anything when it comes to that.
You had a story about the Titan, Saturn's moon, and that methane type island that's out there, didn't you?
Yeah, that was one of the top stories actually for today on governmentsecrets.com. What's cool with, you know, with that site is that I'm kind of diving into not only, again, the conspiracies and the scandals of today, like IRS and the VA and so on, and Benghazi, but also the kind of the fun stories of that information that you don't hear every day. And this particular story, which was a real fun one, was a picture that was taken of Saturn's moon Titan. And the probe had taken pictures years ago, and it actually kind of resurveyed the particular area years later. And all of a sudden, this island appeared in the middle of this methane lake. And it just kind of appeared out of nowhere. And then pictures that they took thereafter, the island was gone. And it completely baffled the scientists, because they really don't, they have theories, but they have no idea why this, you know, what they think is a land mass. It could obviously be something else. They think it's a land mass of some kind, how it could just pop up on one photo and vanish on the other. So they deemed it they dubbed it the Magic Island. And, you know, it's one of those stories that I find fascinating, because, you know, it may come out to that there's just maybe a tide on Titan, you know, and the methane lake just went over this particular little landmass in one photo, but it showed itself in another. You know, it could have a simple mundane explanation, but it really shows us how much we just don't understand about not only our planet, but our solar system. I mean, we're so small in the grander scheme of things. And when stories like this come out, where just scientists are absolutely baffled, you know, by something kind of that small. I mean, it's not an earth-shaking story. Fascinating, but we just can't explain it. It really kind of makes me chuckle that how can so many scientists come out and say, well, alien life probably doesn't exist, or if it does, you know, it's microbial and not intelligent. Or if intelligent life is out there, it definitely hasn't come to Earth because you can't travel the stars. They can definitively say all of that, but when it comes to a simple photograph and an anomaly they're seeing in the photograph, all of them just kind of shake their head and go, we have no idea what this is. This is fascinating. And they're making those discoveries all over the place, Mars included. You know, so as we send these rovers and these probes out, and we're kind of unlocking the secrets of our own solar system, and we learn these new things every day. If we don't know what's in our own backyard, how are we supposed to definitively say life is not visiting our solar system? You know, I mean, you just can't, you can't make that leap. And so that's one of the other angle of some of these stories is, you know, just showing what these discoveries are in space and what they're being made, and what we're finding out. Because I think that each and every day we should really realize that we just don't know what we have in our own backyard, and we just don't understand it. And it's a lot of fun to keep pushing forward, but we got to not make that leap to shut off all other possibilities just because you don't want to believe it. And I think most scientists just don't want to believe intelligent life is out there. Most religions don't want to believe
they're
that intelligent
afraid of
life
it.
Is out there. They're afraid of it on multiple levels. Science is afraid of it because of, you know, their own reasoning. They don't want to look hokey. They don't want to, you know, rule out any funding they may get from a big corporation if they say that alien life might be visiting us, because obviously they'd be labeled a kooky scientist. And then you've got religions that are afraid of it because obviously, you know, that kind of goes against what some major religions teach. Now, Catholicism seems like it has opened up in the last few years to the possibility, and I think that's amazing. I think that's awesome, because obviously, you know, if God made us all in his image, why just on Earth? You know, I mean, that's a little bit silly. So, you know, it depends on what angle you look at it. But, yeah, you're right, George, there's a lot of fear in that particular topic for the quote-unquote truth to come out and for that possibility to be true. So I wish that fear would go away, but it definitely is prevalent.
Let's go to Craig in Sarasota, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hi, Craig, go ahead. You with us? Nope, I let him go. Let's go to Rachel, though, in North Carolina. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, George. This is Rachel with White Buffalo Newsletter.
Oh, how yeah. Doing? Good to have you with us.
Good. I finally got through. I just wanted to ask your guest a couple of things, of if he's looked into anything about artificial life and what he thought about all the intense weather. And I was glad he mentioned about getting some kind of contact from, you know, like the movie Contact with Jodie Foster and Bill Clinton was in it. I wondered if he had done anything about that too, because I also don't think there's anything wrong with believing in God, and also that there's life out there. Just like they found out there was life across the ocean, what would be the difference if we found out there's life across the galaxy, right?
And there probably is. Go ahead, John.
That's right. Well, that's a loaded three-part question. So the first part, artificial life. Now, do you mean like artificial intelligence?
Well, you know, like making a copy of a person and it's artificial life.
Yeah, I find that topic absolutely fascinating. And if I understand
your, on that.
If I understand the scope of your question, I think the possibility is definitely there to quote unquote merge with a machine and essentially make a copy of ourselves and then essentially become immortal. And I did I produce a lot of television shows, and I did one for Discovery Channel, and it was all about first contact. And if we were to make contact with another alien civilization, who and what would it be? And I was amazed by talking to all these, you know, world-renowned scientists that although they won't believe UFOs are real or even talk about UFOs, they believe that if we do meet intelligent life in the future, it will actually be a machine. And their rationale was absolutely fascinating, and I know we're kind of running to the end of the show, but to summarize, I mean, you look at our own intelligence, what are we doing? We're merging with machines, and it started with just mechanical extensions to our body, but then all of a sudden, you know, now we're starting to have thinking machines, and the idea and concept is that you would have a thinking machine with the power that would surpass the human mind, they estimate, in about 2025. Once that happens, and then we create the software, the artificial intelligence to utilize that power, right, then all of a sudden you have this thinking machine. And one of the best sound bites that I got for this particular show was that you can do like 100,000 years of human thought in 3.5 days. And I mean, that bite in itself, I mean, that fact in itself is mind-boggling. I mean, imagine having an entity that can think and do what it took us thousands of years to accomplish, they can figure out not only how to do it, but make it better in a day or two. You know, that completely kind of changes the ball game, so to speak.
Dramatically changes.
Dramatic. And then to go to your, specifically to your question about merging with the machines, you know, one of the best interviews I think that I've ever done, one of my most favorite is Dr. Michio Kaku, and I got to spend some time with him and interviewed him for a couple shows. And, I mean, he said it best, you know, I mean, what would you rather be, a biological entity that, you know, gets old and dies, you know, average of 75 years, or be able to merge with a machine, teach a machine who and what, you know, John Greenwald is, and become that person. And of course, there's the morality aspect of, does it have a soul and is it really that person? But I think that that's what we're heading. And I'm a big advocate for the what I call the horrors of social networking, that we are now going online and we are tweeting our thoughts. We're checking in to everywhere we go.
Selfie pictures. You know, everywhere.
Selfie pictures. Now think about this very quickly, that if you have a piece of software, an intelligent thinking machine, that can then log on to John Greenwald's Facebook page and see everywhere that I've been, all the pictures that I've taken, and it can analyze everything and then create a picture. Right now you're going to talk about an intelligent machine that can actually go elsewhere and create a parallel universe. Right? I mean, it's just this intense, like, wait, what did John just say? I haven't completely lost my mind. I mean, I'm trying to summarize it also, but haven't completely lost my mind. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're creating a blueprint of who and what we are. And in 10, 20, 50, 100 years, it doesn't matter. All of this data is going to be there. So unless we don't wipe ourselves completely off the map with a nuclear holocaust,
which we could,
you're absolutely right. But I mean, all of this data will probably be there. And once that intelligent machine can actually process who and what John Greenwald was and everywhere he went, all the blanks, it can actually think for itself and fill in the blanks, you know, and start creating copies of all these people. I mean, it's an amazing question.
John Greenwald, my friend, thank you for being on the show. As usual, his new website, governmentsecrets.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.